Make it, do it, makes us. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. It's hard to start a workout routine in a world where we are scheduled to the T and where we feel so much obligation to other people. It's also hard to come home from a long day of work and think, you know what I want to do? I want to exert myself. Much easier to reach for the cold brew in the fridge and binge watch The Crown. But what that Netflix and chill thing will only make you feel so good. Our bodies were made to move. Have you tried and failed at keeping a regular exercise routine? Do you exercise regularly and do you want to share the benefits? 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Carlin Ault is joining us today to help us motivate getting our bodies moving. She's a clinical associate professor in the Department of Kinesiology, one of my favorite words, in the Integrative Healthcare and Performance Unit at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, where she teaches in the Doctor of Physical Therapy program. Carlin, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you, Carrie. It's my pleasure.
So we all know that exercise is really good for us, both in short and long-term health, mental health, physical health. So why is it so difficult for people to do it regularly?
Well, if we had the answer to that, things would be so much easier. You're absolutely right. We're very busy, and it's hard. It's hard to fit it in. It's hard to have the motivation and willpower to do it on a regular basis. And I think it's especially hard for those who need it the most. So those who have mobility challenges and managing different chronic diseases or conditions impairs our mobility and makes it even harder, adding more barriers.
Right, because it's frustrating. And
right.
there's just more frustration you have to get over when you have those issues. Why is it so important for people who have mobility issues or chronic diseases?
Participating in physical activity will reduce your risk of developing and the progression or the manifestation of a host of different chronic diseases, breast and colon cancer, diabetes, obesity, cardiovascular disease, and it improves your overall well-being. Cognitive function is better, and quality of life is better. You feel better if you can do it.
I totally agree. Wait a second, though. Working out will actually prevent some cancer? So is that what you just said? Or did I mishear you? Oh, wow.
Yes, that is correct. There's three cancers, colon cancer, endometrial, and breast cancer, that have very convincing evidence that if you participate in regular physical activity, you can reduce the risk of developing those cancers. And if you have those cancers, you can see reduction in recurrence risk and improved quality of life and mortality outcomes if you are participating in regular physical activity.
Well, if that doesn't get people off the couch, I don't know what will. We are.
Yeah, but it doesn't. And not to the fault of anyone who's trying to manage those chronic diseases. But again, it's difficult, particularly if movement is hard.
Right. So so how do we start working out? If we have a long-term disease or not, we're still sitting on the couch.
Yep.
If we haven't worked out in years or we're just kind of starting in the first place, what are your tips for making this happen?
I think the most important factor is it's got to be fun. It has to be meaningful for you. It has to bring some value to your life. Because your healthcare professionals can tell you there's all kinds of reduction in risk factors and chronic disease. But most of us really just, we want to have fun. We want to feel better. We want to have a good quality of life. So we have to find a way to understand that when I participate in either scheduled physical activity or just reducing my sedentary behavior, I feel better. And then pretty soon I notice I feel better, and so I'm more inclined to participate regularly in that activity.
This makes sense.
It sounds easy, but it's not.
But it's sort of like once you jump on, it's kind of harder to get off. Because you see all the benefits. It's the starting that's the hard thing, or restarting that's the hard thing.
Yes, it's the maintaining is very hard because it's you can start and you feel better, but then all of a sudden life takes over. You've got more commitments to get done in your day than you have time, and something has to go. Something has to be cut.
We are talking to Carlin Ault from the University of Milwaukee, talking about exercise, the importance of exercise. She just told me something that I did not know, which is that exercising regularly can prevent or help you recover from cancer, from certain sorts of cancer. I love that. I will take that information far and wide. We are also taking your calls, 800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org. Tweet us at WPR Mornings. Do you need to start an exercise routine? Do you have an exercise routine? Would you like to share your secret for keeping it going every day or a couple times a week or whatever it is? Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. We have a call from Liz in Stoughton. She called to say, I used to exercise regularly, cardio, 4 to 5 times a week, but due to a physical injury, I had to stop completely. Now, a year later, I'm ready to start again, but I am so out of shape. It's frustrating. What tips do you have for me or others starting from scratch after an injury?
Well, great question. And it somewhat depends on what your injury is or what your target is. If you want to improve your cardiovascular, your heart health, you want to, perhaps you'd say, well, I'll go outside, I'll start a walking program. If you have arthritis, hip pain, you're carrying some excessive weight, walking outside or walking in weight bearing is sometimes difficult. So perhaps finding a way to participate in the aerobic exercise in a pool, on a bicycle, ways that you can reduce the weight load and the gravity so that whatever your body part is that's giving you a difficult time is somewhat accommodated by the choice of how you choose to exercise. And sometimes you can do that on your own, and sometimes you need some help. Mm. You need some health coaching. You need some fitness or health professional to help you problem solve. But anything you do is better than nothing at all.
So even though it's frustrating, it's sort of like, you know, a virtuoso pianist who comes back after a break and sounds great to the rest of us, but hates herself because she's not playing up to her speed. When you come back from an injury, you're not doing what you used to be able to do, and that's incredibly frustrating. But it's an incremental thing, one step at a time, and you will get to where you need to be. A lot of people will like to exercise with friends, work out with friends. I see a lot of people working out with kids. Like, you know, they're running and their kids are riding their bikes, keeping up with them. Talk to me about the benefits of that.
Fantastic. If you look at what we'll call the wellness wheel or the elements of wellness, it's not always just physical. It can be emotional, psychological, social, environmental. So the ability to be physically active with someone else, maybe outside, you get multiple benefits. Plus, you have some accountability. You get some family time. So you're able to tick multiple boxes by selecting activities where you're socially with a friend or a family member. You can be outside enjoying the beautiful weather. Not always beautiful weather in Wisconsin, but you're finding ways to help your own personal wellness by incorporating more than it. It doesn't have to just be, I'm going to sit all by myself and sweat on a machine all alone. Being with someone else is a fantastic idea, and one that also can help with your adherence and compliance, because they're waiting for me. I have a girlfriend I run with. She might be waiting for me on the corner. If I don't go, I'm accountable to her. So those little changes, very small and manageable, can help improve your compliance and adherence.
Okay, so you're a runner, and your friend is waiting on the corner in the middle of July, maybe in the morning when it's a little cooler and you can get a great run in. In the middle of February, that is a different story, and you have to kind of switch where you go, when you go, and that's a lot when a lot of people stop.
Well, and again, excellent point, because in order for us to be outside, it's dark. It's dark in the middle of winter, it's cold, and it may not be dangerous. And it may be dangerous right. because it might be icy. I have fallen several times myself on cracks in the sidewalk. You might live in a neighborhood or a community where there's a lot of dogs, or it's not safe to walk on the street. So you have to make sure that the message of being physically active can be applied across many different locations and individual needs for people. If you're going to be outside, you need to be safe.
We are talking about the importance of physical fitness, not on New Year's, but in the middle of the summer and all year round. We want to know your relationship to exercise, whether you love it or hate it, how you do it, whether you do it, if you want to get started. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. We will be back with Carlin Alt in a moment. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. According to new data from the Centers for Disease Control, about 23% of American adults ages 18 to 64 get enough exercise. 23%. Our guest today, UW-Milwaukee physical therapy professor Carlin Alt, wants to motivate you and 77% of the other people to get up off the couch or take that turn to the gym after a long day at work. We want to help you start and keep a sustainable workout routine. 1-800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. If you want advice on how to start a routine, give us a call. If you want to give us advice on keeping your routine, if you want to talk to us about what exercise does for you, 800-642-1234. So, Carlin, I want to turn here. What is the difference between aerobic exercise and anaerobic exercise?
Aerobic exercise is targeting cardiovascular health and fitness. So you're trying to get your heart like a skeletal muscle, but a heart muscle, you're trying to get it to exercise to improve its functionality, its strength, its ability to do what its job is. So you're usually going to be working at a slightly lower intensity for longer periods of time with aerobic exercise.
Mm-hmm. So anaerobic exercise?
In anaerobic exercises, you're using a different energy substrate. You're using different energy sources to provide fuel to the muscles for you to participate in your given activity. So it's at a higher intensity for shorter durations.
So you would recommend people do both. So if you're running, you may run and do aerobic exercise as you're running, and I'm kind of like moving around and running as I'm talking to you. And then you would maybe do an interval. And,
exactly.
And that would be anaerobic exercise where you're breathing really, really hard. This is my experience. I actually work out a lot, and when I do that kind of thing, when I do anaerobic exercise, my heart beats really fast, and it clears my head. It also kind of makes me feel better emotionally if I'm feeling bad. But really, I feel like it's a, you know how those things that clear your keyboard, air things, like, right?
Yes.
I feel like when I do that kind of exercise, that's what happens to my head. Like, and my blood just kind of goes up and goes, poof, and my head is clear. Am I crazy here?
Well, I can't. I don't think you have the air gun up in the brain. But the high intensity interval training, sometimes referred to as HIIT training, high intensity interval training is certainly very popular in the fitness community right now. It was one of the big trends for 2018. Usually something between 10 to 40 seconds, or sometimes up to 2 minutes, depending on the specified program of high intensity exercise. 30 seconds to 60 seconds of recovery, and it has good outcomes in terms of improving cardiovascular fitness, strength training. So it is a good exercise, and they are also now starting to do it with more clinical populations, so those who are managing chronic diseases.
Ah.
But for some people who are just starting out, it may be too much.
That's a big ask.
To get your heart rate up at such a high intensity. You can get benefits at lower intensities as well. it does have excellent evidence to support it, but maybe not for the novice.
Okay, I'll go there. So let me talk. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, once you've been exercising, you've got a little bit of a base, it's a fantastic addition to your regular training program.
Okay, so I want to talk about the benefits of walking, or maybe not the benefits of walking. We've been told for years that if you just get out and walk, you're going to be in great shape. And then a study came out recently that said, you're not going to be in as good a shape. I mean, it's better than nothing, but you're not going to be in as good a shape. So talk to me about that.
Well, in general, we're looking for 150 minutes of cardiovascular aerobic exercise per week. 150 minutes per week. So something like 30 minutes a day, maybe, we'll say on most days, or 5 days a week, if that's moderate intensity exercise. If you increase that to vigorous exercise, you could get by with 20 minutes because you're working at a higher intensity. So we're often looking at this sweet spot for 150. But if you want to lose weight or you've lost weight and you want to maintain, we say some is good. So 150 is good, more is better. Mm-hmm. But if you can't hit your 150-minute target, less is okay as well. Avoid inactivity. Whatever you do is beneficial. At as low as 50% of that 150 minutes, at 75 minutes, you are still able to get some cardiovascular benefits. The more you increase your intensity, the longer you participate in the activity, the greater the benefits are for you. If you're walking very slow and you're not increasing your intensity, the benefits you see will be less dramatic.
So it depends on the kind of walking you're doing and also the kinds of things that you might do as well as walking.
Correct. Because ideally, we would be participating in some cardiovascular fitness exercise, 150 minutes per week. We would be participating in strength training or resistance training at least twice a week. We would be doing some what we'll call sort of neuromotor exercise, something like Tai Chi or yoga, things that include strength training and balance training combined together, and then a little bit of stretching and flexibility a couple days a week.
You're talking a lot of days a week here. How many?
A lot of days a week, yes.
how much commitment do people need? Is 2 days too little? Is 5 days too much?
Some regular cardiovascular training on most days is a very good idea. And if you can try to combine some of your resistance training with your neuromotor training and your flexibility, maybe I'm going to go to the gym and work, or I'm going to use my own personal body weight and do it in my backyard or in my family room. I might want to work on squat training and bicep curls and a plank where I'm adding additional load to my muscles, which helps my muscles get stronger. It helps my bones stay strong because when my muscles contract, they pull and load on my bones, keeping my bones healthy, important for aging. And I can fit in a couple of stretches at the beginning and the end of that strength training program. And if I can find some way to do some some balance or some neuromotor training, that's a bonus.
Okay, so there are questions that come up from this, but I want to get to our caller, Amanda from Appleton. Amanda, welcome to the program.
Hi. How's it going? I just really wanted to call in and just, I guess, share a little bit of my story, just because I'm recently become quite active. I'm in a program. I'm a part of my local YMCA, and I just want to share, like, how it's changed my life.
Okay.
Just to say that, you know, I'm still a big girl. I'm about 240 pounds now, and when I started, I was almost at 300.
Mm.
So it's not like I'm calling and I'm a skinny little thing. I have my curves, but I also have strength now. I'm stronger. I have 3 boys. I'm able to take care of them and keep up with them. And I just want people to know, you know, I know it's a big task and it sucks. Nobody wants to get off the couch or bed from watching a really good show I'm a reader, or reading a good book. But it feels so good. It does. It hurts. I hate it. In the morning. And go to the gym, I'm thinking to myself, oh, I could have slept. I need sleep. But when I get there and I'm done, I feel so good afterwards. Even just going to my local Y and going swimming with my boys when I'm done, I'm like, wow, I feel really good.
Thank you.
So for me, it's definitely a mental thing, but it's also definitely giving me a physical.
Thank you, Amanda. That's great. Keep going. And thank you for calling in. Carlin, we are talking to Carlin Ault at from the University of Milwaukee Health Sciences. What do you have to say to Amanda?
Congratulations, Amanda. And it is not about the weight. It's not your goal doesn't need to be weight loss. It's the achievement of fitness. And the being able to be strong, to participate in your life, to do the things that matter to you, when you know how good you feel, it helps you to have that adherence and that motivation to say, you're right, I don't necessarily want to do that, but I know how good I'm going to feel afterwards. And you've now internalized, you now care about exercising because internally you know you feel better. And that's a big key. If you're doing it to fit into a certain size or because of what someone else thinks, it doesn't matter as much to you. Mm. So finding a way for you to know that it matters to you really is important for you sticking with it. So congratulations. You're a representation of exactly what physical activity can do for you.
So one of the things that Amanda talks about is it makes her feel better emotionally, and there have been connections. There are connections between getting out and getting physical activity and feeling better emotionally, yes?
Absolutely, absolutely. Clears the mind, some endorphins are released with exercise, and improves both your physical and your mental health. That's why I often refer our students to this, you know, this wheel of wellness, and we think about it, of activity, and our first thoughts go to physical, but there is so much more: social, psychological, emotional, spiritual. There's a lot that helps us. There's a lot that contributes to us feeling good, and physical is one element, but there's a lot more. But if you're active, many of those spokes in the wheel are improved.
So I want to talk about something else here. You know, you talked about strength training. This is something that I haven't really done a lot of for a while. And the reason why is that the last time I tried to join a gym, they gave me a tour. I walked in, they said, this is the strength training place. And I looked at everybody and they were all young and they were all men. And I was like, okay, is there somewhere else that I can do some strength training? So like that is, and that is, I've been kind of like pushing against that all my life. And yeah. I'm sure that other women have too. Some push through it and do it anyway. And some go, yeah, I think I'll take this other class here. How do we get more women interested in this? And how do we make places so that they feel comfortable?
Well, the gym has to set the tone that the weight training area is available for everyone. And I say you just walk in there and just exercise with the guys because it doesn't really matter that they're there. Strength training benefits women and men. The old adage was women were afraid they were going to bulk up if they did resistance training, which makes no sense.
Right.
That has no physiological sense. Resistance training will increase the amount of muscle that you have. Muscle burns more calories than fat does, so you end up changing your body composition by strength training. So, and also the more muscle you have, your resting metabolic rate is increased. So you burn more calories doing nothing while you're sitting and watching your TV show. You're able to burn more calories because you have more muscle on you. Additionally, it protects your bones. Women are at risk for bone loss with the aging process. So are men, but women more so. And making sure that your bones are strong by adding weights is crucial. And your muscles have to be strong. If you get winded climbing the stairs, part of it might be exercising your heart muscle, but you also have to have strong quadriceps and glutes. So thigh and butt muscles have to be strong to help you climb the stairs. So as Amanda said, those simple tasks of squatting up and down to the ground to play with your kids, when that is painful or exhausting, strengthen the muscles to give some support to those movement activities.
Okay, so what about walking up and down the stairs as exercise? Like that is just making that part of your daily routine?
That's fantastic. The things that make our life more difficult, parking further away, parking on the lowest level of the parking structure, taking the stairs, not using the elevator, having the printer in an office somewhere down the hall from you, so you have to get up and walk to the printer to pick up whatever papers you've printed, might be an inconvenience, but they all add physical activity into your day. So that's fine, provided, so climbing the stairs is a good addition, provided you don't have knee pain. If you have pain on the front of your knee, or you have malalignment at the front of your knee, climbing the stairs is going to make you hurt more and might make you more symptomatic for knee pain, which reduces your activity.
Right.
So there are times when if you're trying to add in some strength training and something hurts or it's uncomfortable, seeking out some advice of a physical therapist or a personal trainer, someone who can give you some advice on, based on your alignment, let's try this exercise and not that exercise, to give you just a little bit of guidance so you can continue with your program and not be derailed because now something hurts.
So we talked about getting out and starting exercise and keeping a routine. You mentioned that you have been hurt falling in cracks in the sidewalk. So there's a safety issue there. But also there's a safety issue in terms of warming up properly, stretching properly, especially for beginners. Talk to me about that.
Think about the activity that you're going to be doing. So if you're going to be walking or going for a light jog, the muscles that are going to be used, it's good to have an active warm-up. If you have very tight hamstrings, muscles on the back of your thigh, or very tight calf muscles, when you elongate those muscles with your activity, if they are tight, it's going to make your activity more difficult and might affect some symptoms in those tissues. So making sure that they have good length and are extensible is helpful. Walking, well, typically you see people doing the stretch against the wall, or you see them trying to, you know, reach forward for their toes, trying to stretch out those muscles on the back of the thigh. If you're just walking as an activity, those stretches are fine. You could even walk a little slower to begin with, warm your body temperature up a little bit, then do a couple of stretches, and then move into your more fast pace, or move into your run, what we would call an active warm-up. I will say, if you're going to be participating in a local 5K and you want to have a very good competitive time, stretching just before a competitive event is not recommended. If you have ongoing tightness, like I mentioned before, twice a week I'd like to be doing some specific targeted stretching, but not always right before a performance event, because that actually can decrease your performance at that time. Doesn't mean don't stretch. It just means fit in your stretching on a different time schedule.
Yes, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, but if you're going to go for a 3-mile fast walk run combination, start out a little bit slower, stop at a tree, do a couple of stretches, loosen the hips up a little bit, and then go ahead and gradually increase your...
And after the 5K, are warm downs really important?
They are. It will be more effective for you to stretch after you've completed your activity, because now your body temperature is warm and your tissues are more extensible. So you can bend a lot further and stretch further when your body is warm. So if after your cool down, slowing down your activity, you don't just come to a dead stop.
Right.
Slowing down the activity, and you can follow your exercise routine with some stretching.
We are talking about the importance of physical fitness, not on New Year's, but all year round. Carolyn Ault joins us from UW-Milwaukee. Call us and get motivated to stay physically fit. We're going to take your calls when we come back. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. Around 2/3 of people in the U.S. are obese, compared with just over 1/3 that number worldwide. A large part of that is the paltry amount of exercise people in the U.S. get. Well, Carolyn Ault of UW-Milwaukee's College of Health Sciences is here to help you start a workout routine for your life. Not just to lose weight, as she said earlier, but a way to get healthy and stay healthy. Do you work out regularly? What is your motivating factor? And if you don't, do you think that you would get some time to do so? Does parenthood interfere with your workout goals? 1-800-642-1234. Ideas@WPR.org is our email. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Right now, we're going to go with Dave in Green Bay. Dave, welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, interesting show. I'll do as quickly as I can. I'm a 75-year-old guy as of this next week or so. I play football in college. My coach in St. Leonard always said, I don't want to see a bunch of fat guys after 25 or 30 years, so keep in shape. Mm. Over the years, I've done that pretty good. You know, I've kept my weight pretty good. About 5 years ago, my daughter took me into a new thing called yoga. Everybody hears yoga, 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 and kind of get sick of hearing yoga again, I guess. But anyway, I do it 3 days a week. I've been doing it for about 4.5 months. Last year, a year ago, I had some serious brain surgery. I was in intensive care for 13 days. And when I got out and started doing the PT, I was almost starting to gain pounds, you know, because my recovery just was so fast. And I just wanted to share that. It's just amazing. And I don't know what it is about yoga, but you just want to keep doing it. And if you don't do it, it just doesn't seem right.
So doing yoga and being in shape help you recover from your brain surgery faster?
Absolutely.
Wow, Dave, thank you. That's a great testimonial, and I understand you're heading to yoga class. Have fun. We are talking about exercise and the importance of exercise. Carlin, 75 years old, and he is in such good shape that even having brain surgery didn't take him out of shape.
Yep, yes, and those are the testaments to remaining strong and strong and physically active when life's bumps come, whether it is an isolated injury or condition or managing a chronic condition. The better shape you are going into those disease processes or temporary conditions, the easier it is for you to recover. Sometimes in therapy we'll call it prehabilitation, is if you're going to have knee surgery, helping to make sure you're as strong and mobile as possible going into the surgery, your recovery time will be quicker and faster.
I want to talk to you about motherhood. So this is one of the first things, exercise, taking care of yourself, is one of the first things that goes when you have a baby, or maybe you have a second child, now you have two. Sleep is very important to physical health also. And there's this now juggling act that you have to do between your kids and sleep and exercise. And exercise is often the first thing to go. Tell us why that shouldn't be.
Well, I have four children, and so I completely understand. And you're right, sleep is very important, and we're recognizing more and more the importance of sleep. But you have to keep your mental and personal health intact for you to be a good partner, a good parent, and to be able to manage all of the stressors of parenthood and life in general. So it is okay to take care of yourself because we're often guilty. I'm going to take time away from my family. That's often one of the barriers to physical activity, is taking time away from my family.
Mm-hmm.
But when you come back to your family, you are in a much better mental condition to interact with your family, and the outcomes you create with the family are enhanced because you took that time for yourself. There's a questionnaire, exercise barriers and benefits questionnaire, and we've used this with some of our cancer patients who are exercising, and they will often say one of their primary barriers is fear of taking time away from the family. And after they participate in the program, what they realize is, yeah, my family is completely fine with me being away because they are supportive of me. I am better with them when I work to take care of myself.
Right, you know. You're less short tempered with them if you're taking care of yourself. Tom from Green Bay actually wants to add to this conversation. Tom, welcome to the program.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going all right.
I've been a personal trainer for just over 4 years now, and I absolutely love talking about fitness and health, nutrition, so if I start to ramble or get off topic, let me know, because there's a lot I want to say.
Okay.
So, like, the main thing, I know somebody called in, they are, but your guests have talked about, you know, going to the gym and worried about people looking at them while they're in the weight room, and, you know, I say don't worry about that whatsoever, because 95% of the people there are looking at themselves in the mirror, because that's sort of what they're focused on is themselves.
Mm-hmm.
The only time they're going to say something is if your form is potentially dangerous, and they'll want to correct that, because a lot of the people there understand that injuries happen and it sucks when it takes you out of the gym. And then my second point was in terms of, like, getting into the habit of doing something, like, you don't need to set aside a time or set amount of time outside the, during the day to do it. It's just whenever it pops into your head, just do it. So if that means touching your toes for 15 seconds whenever you remember to do it, do it. Because you got to get into the habit of doing it. And then third point is going back to the injury part, I mean, I've suffered my fair share of injuries, but a lot of the time it was just tight muscles. And, you know, for a long time I thought I had tendonitis in my elbows or in my forearms, and it turns out my muscles are just all knotted up, and if I had stretched and done some massage on my arms and muscles, like, I wouldn't have had that issue, and now I'm very proactive in doing that. And the last part was has to do with the study of epigenetics, but I had recently read a study that showed that when you reach a certain level of physical fitness, whatever that level is, your body makes, you know, genetic changes and remembers that previous level of fitness. So even if you decondition yourself for a year or two, once you get back into the gym, your body is going to remember it.
Ah.
So for all of the families out there that want to start their kids getting exercising, you know, the younger the better, because if they get super jacked when they're 5 years old, they're going to be so much better for it by the time they're 20.
Yeah, you know, get the kids away from the screens and get them outside exercising. I think that's a really good and problematic issue of our time. Tom, thank you very much for that. I appreciate that. We also have Lonnie from Green Bay. Lots of Green Bay calls today. Lonnie, welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. I just wanted to comment and talk about the exercise in different life stages. For example, as a person in my 20s and 30s, I was working out 4 to 5 times a week, 2 hours a day, doing a lot of weightlifting, running, biking, anything that I could. In my 40s, I hurt my back. I herniated a disc, and I was out for about a year or two and was unable to do anything but walk. And then I went back to the gym, and every time I would go back, my back would hurt too much, and I got scared and stopped going.
Mm.
So now I'm still able to cycle. I got back into biking. I can do 30 miles if I choose. I walk as much as I can. I do a lot of stretching and yoga. I do massage, and like your previous caller said, I try to be proactive, started doing some Pilates to support my back. So I just wanted to encourage people that if you get hurt, I hear a lot of people say, well, I can't do this, I can't do that. I really try to focus on what I can do and continue to do the things that don't hurt me and be gentle with my body versus trying to push in areas where, you know, I might injure myself again and then be out completely.
How you feel now?
So I just, I feel great. I have to be careful what I do, but I feel really good. I'm starting to get fit again. It's been about 3, almost 4 years since I injured it, but I feel really good. I don't run anymore. And I'm okay with that. I miss it, but I think it's part of accepting that your body's telling you what it needs and what it doesn't need. And I would like to just ask your guests, you know, I think it's important to look at different life stages and how do you, you know, coach people to maybe someone's older and maybe swimming is better or something like that.
That's a great question, Carlin. People who are hitting their 40s, maybe even their 50s, are maybe frustrated that they can't do what they used to be able to do as a kid or, you know, even 20 years before. And how do you coach them through kind of mentally accepting what they can do?
Well, the strength training and aerobic fitness training benefits for older adults, the body actually responds the same way. So it's exactly as Lonnie has said, is finding a way to match where your body is right now, meeting yourself or your body where it is, matching it with the activity that is enjoyable for you but also meets what you're looking for your health outcomes. And it doesn't have to be the same thing. You don't have to always run. There are many options for different activities. Having that core strength and stability is crucial, as we've heard from yoga and Pilates, for the back injuries. 10-minute intervals, 10-minute bouts of activity is enough. If you're looking for your 30 minutes a day, you don't have to do 30 minutes at a time. 10-minute increments is okay. So if you do 10 minutes interspersed throughout the day for someone who is having pain or has a mobility problem or at a different stage of life, 10-minute increments is just fine. And I agree, you need to accommodate your physical activity as your body changes. But benefits to strength training and aerobic conditioning in the older adults is as great and more important than someone who's younger, because risk of falls increases in the aging population, and having strength and mobility helps reduce your risk of falls. And that's a big problem, and our population is getting older, so helping our older adults stay active is essential.
I want to add that, first of all, thank you very much for that. And I want to add that I spent the day on Saturday with an 88-year-old who was sailing. He teaches sailing. He gets out on boats with people and sails with them. And he is spryer than some of the people that he is teaching. So keep up your physical fitness. After this show, I expect to see an overflow of people at the gym after work. Carlin is a clinic.
Right.
Carlin Alt is a clinical associate professor in the Department of Kinesiology in the Integrative Healthcare and Performance Unit at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee's College of Health Sciences. Thank you for being with us today.
Oh, thank you so much. It was my pleasure.
It's the Morning Show.
Yeah.